Star Market Celtics tonight continues from the Garden. Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. We've been doing this 6 years. Have you ever heard me stumble before like I just did?
No.
The second take?
You feel like
April 1st?
You're a little thrown off today.
It's been that kind of day. With the coaches going into the Final Four, first of all, how did you resolve your dilemma on Saturday night of your two good friends going head-to-head? Did you? I mean, obviously we were busy, so you were able to duck your head to some degree. So
we were busy, but then, as you know, we were on the plane right after, and each guy had it on his phone or his computer. They were all at different spots in the game because everybody was somewhat delayed. And, man, that was an amazing game, an amazing ending, and really happy for Coach Bennett and for Virginia. But, man, what a tough loss for Purdue.
I was thinking about asking you what his week is going to be like. You had that very strange week the first time because you were at home. Obviously,
yeah.
That changes a lot of the dynamic. It also occurred to me we're all older than we think we are. All of us had to go through the trauma of it being 10 years last year since the Celtics won the championship. Next year is 10 years since that happened. Was there anything outside of the ordinary, the unusual part about being at home, that you could not have expected as a first-time
coach? Well, I was 33, and so my head was spinning. And, you know, Butler was a place that people would stop by occasionally, but I parked right in front of the building and walked in, and there was no extra security or anything like that. And the first time I went to the gym during the week, so once Monday hit, there was a line wrapped around the entire gym waiting to try to get tickets. And so getting in any door was not happening without walking by most of the line. And then I would say the other thing is, and this is what one of my friends, Thad Mata, told me right away, right when we qualified for the Final Four, he said, get out of the ticket business right now. So I actually told Tracy, we get 8 tickets, that's it. That's it. Like, we don't have any others, you know, just give it to who you want to give it to and we'll go from there. But I think that's the hardest part, is people come out of the woodwork asking for tickets or wanting to come or wanting to be a part of it, and rightfully so. You want to help as many people as you can, but you can stress yourself out and give yourself an extra headache if you're doing that.
It's like the greatest game of Survivor there is. It's like,
yeah,
you know, like
right.
You make the cut and you don't.
Well, especially in Indy. I mean, it was literally everyone we knew and all of our friends wanted to come to that game, and most of them found a way in. So my biggest regret from that, and one of the things I would tell them is that I didn't get a chance to really experience the vibe of downtown or the vibe of the towns we were in when we were playing, with the exception of walking onto the bus and just kind of hearing the bands play and seeing people in the streets. But that is a fun event, and I hope they really enjoy it.
From valuing tickets to valuing possessions, you said after the game that this team is not valuing possessions enough. Is that something tangible, or is that your eyes tell you that?
No, to me, it's, you know, sometimes it's throwing the ball away and being loose with the ball. A lot of times for our team, it's just settling for a decent look when we could try to find a great one. And I think that's been one of our struggles, and that's what we've got to get better at as we enter the playoff next week. And I do think, like, ultimately, that's something that you have to build with conscious decisions. Like, you have to make a conscious decision to probe for a great shot. You have to know what a great shot is. You have to have self-awareness to find yours and find others. And then defensively, it can't be dependent on whether or not we're scoring the ball. And I thought the other day we saw that a little bit. I thought when we started missing shots, when we started settling, then we got a little bit more lax defensively. And then I thought, you know, we just didn't guard them as hard as we need to in the third quarter. I was really encouraged leaving the Indiana game that we're capable and focused of guarding the way we want to guard. Obviously, we didn't do that as much on Saturday night.
Eric Spoelstra was asked this earlier today about what happens late in the season. Everyone has their own individual agendas as far as resting guys and who's going to play and who's not. But obviously, there's a bigger picture issue. It affects the playoff race. All these teams are jockeying for position. The answer is pretty obvious, but just for the record, does the bigger picture of the league enter 0.1% into any of these discussions or even your thought process? Like, boy, it's too bad that has to happen.
No, I didn't. You know, and I didn't even think about it until I saw that. I think the biggest thing is it was a back-to-back, and we had played a lot of minutes and hard the night before, and you know, that was something that, as we looked at the final stretch of our schedule, we thought was important to make sure that we're feeling great as we head in. We haven't had a top 1, 2, or 3 year as far as seeding goes, and at the end of the day, being healthy and playing as well as we can have got to be our priorities.
What's the value in a game like this, now two games head-to-head with Miami, of the games earlier in the year that you played against them. And I mention it only because in preparing for this game, some guys had some real up-and-down performances, even within those two games on both sides.
Well, I think, too, you sometimes look at where games are scheduled.
Yeah.
And that game at Miami was a really tough turnaround. And we started off by making a bunch of jump shots that were going to catch up with us. And so, you know, it was like the old deal that they always say about Jim Boeheim always wants the other team to make a couple threes so they keep jacking them. Like, we made a bunch of jump shots early, and then we weren't getting any presence at the rim. And then all of a sudden they went on a run, and we still weren't getting any presence at the rim. We stopped making them. So I thought that that was a huge key in the first game. We were better attacking in the second, lost a big lead in the fourth, and held on to win. But this is a team that keeps coming at you. They're very versatile. They're very deep. When they don't have the guys that are not available tonight, they play even bigger. And I think it makes it, you know, it makes it very tough. When you have a team like theirs, a little bit like ours, and someone's missing or two people are missing, sometimes that just solidifies the rotation that much more, and guys can really excel.
Kelly was a guy that brought a lot of divergent opinions during the years he was here, particularly from my partner. And you look down this year, the advanced metrics and all the stuff that it can or cannot be valuable, we're always very kind to him, particularly in the defensive end. He's their plus-minus leader this year. What now, from the outside, watching him play for another team, where do we evaluate Kelly as an NBA player in year six?
Well, I think one of the hardest things to evaluate is savvy, and he knows how to play. He knows how to play on both ends of the floor. He's not the quickest guy in the world, but he uses his quickness well. Like, he can keep the ball in front of him. He understands how to guard and take away angles. On the other end of the court, he uses all the kind of old man moves. He does all the fakes. He has the fake handoffs. He loves to do the fake handoff and go. It drives me absolutely insane when we get beat on that after watching it for 4 years here. And you know it's coming, right? Yeah. But he's a good player, and, you know, he was a really good player here, but you could see he was about to turn that corner and become even better when he left. We did not want to lose him. That was one of the casualties of our free agent signing. So I thought ultimately it's too bad because, you know, he's a really good player. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for his success. He was really good. Last time he was here, he had one of those little Miami Vice jerseys that he gave Kinsley.
Awesome.
So Kinsley got her own jersey swap, which was a pretty cool moment.
He's savvy, but my favorite time was the time he came to you and said, "You've never beaten Greg Popovich in all the times you've been," and he had been here the exact same number of years. It just didn't sink in.
We came in together, although he was a couple days ahead of me. He got drafted on Thursday, and I got hired on Wednesday, so he was 6 days ahead of me. So he was a long, long tenured Celtic by the time I got there.
That's the head coach. Celtics in the Heat next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.